to case number 5, which is 11-1342, and it's Abner versus the Illinois Department of Transportation. Hello, Mr. Bollinger.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. We're here today to discuss whether Mr. Abner should be allowed to proceed on his complaint against the Illinois Department of Transportation, or IDOT, for terminating him in retaliation for filing an earlier racial discrimination complaint. The District Court found that Mr. Abner could not proceed on his complaint for three reasons. First, it found that the court had no jurisdiction to hear the complaint under the so-called Rooker-Feldman Doctrine. Second, the court also held that the complaint was barred under principles of res judicata from an earlier decision by the Circuit Court of Cook County. And third, the District Court also found that the complaint failed to state a claim for Title VII retaliation.
Now, Judge Kinnaird's order essentially holds that IDOT had good cause to fire Mr. Abner. Why doesn't that preclude Mr. Abner from relitigating the propriety of his discharge here?
Well, Your Honor, as to the res judicata issue, which I think you're suggesting is part of the underlying decision, it is admittedly a close question as to whether the Cook County decision and the 2001 racial discrimination complaint arise out of the same group of operative facts. There's no question that that argument was not raised in either the underlying state law administrative action or in the Cook County appeal as to whether or not their motives were motivated by a racial discrimination charge that he had filed in 2001. So the question then becomes whether or not those are sufficiently related to bar him from bringing that claim later on. Now, it's an admittedly close question, but especially given that no court, neither the administrative law judge nor the Cook County judge, passed on the merits of this racial discrimination claim or the retaliatory claim, I respectfully submit that Judge Castillo interpreted the test too broadly. There are some overlying facts, no doubt, but there was no discovery allowed on his taking on their motives for why IDOT chose to terminate him.
But are you saying that Judge Kinnaird's ruling didn't establish that IDOT had a legitimate non-retaliatory ground for firing Mr. Abner? Is that what you're arguing?
If I understand your question correctly, Your Honor, I am saying that. Their decision was based upon other conduct, including his prior history in the workplace, some other incidents that he had been involved in, but there was no allegations regarding whether or not they were retaliating against him. Did they find that he was terminated, that they had proper grounds to terminate him? Yes, that's correct, Your Honor, but none of that decision was based upon whether or not they had retaliated against him in violation of Title VII.
Well, what troubles me is this, you know, why the retaliatory discharge claim wasn't brought as a defense in the state court proceeding, because that should have been included. I mean, I understand that's the bottom. I mean, that's the big hurdle you have to get over.
And, Your Honor, I agree that ultimately the issue is whether or not that had to have been included in that issue as well. And respectfully, if I could submit that it's easy to address these kind of issues as judges and attorneys and understanding that, well, you have to bring all of those claims at once. Mr. Abner, of course, is not an attorney, and it's not in the record as to why he did not, Your Honor. I can only assume that as an unsophisticated man, he was not aware that he had to bring all of those claims and all of those defenses in one combined action.
But that's not a defense. I mean, it's not a defense to say, you know, my client was unsophisticated.
I understand, Your Honor, that that's not a legal defense, but I would say that it is a mitigating circumstance.
Well, it is
case.
Mitigating, but you need to get over the legal hurdle. Well, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, we can understand it, we can empathize it, but you got to make that legal hurdle.
I understand, Your Honor, and admittedly the legal hurdle is difficult to overcome in this case. But as to the way around that and the circumstances which would allow the court to get over that legal hurdle would be that it does not arise out of the same group of operative facts, that there were sufficiently a distinction between everything that happened in the discrimination complaint he filed in 2001, which was sufficiently different from what happened in the workplace action in 2005 to allow him to proceed on that claim. And along similar lines, it would be similar that the Rooker-Feldman doctrine would not apply for similar reasons. Of course, those doctrines are very similar. But part of the Rooker-Feldman rule and the key inquiry under that doctrine is whether or not the district court is being asked to set aside the state court judgment. And respectfully, I would submit, Your Honors, that the district court could fashion relief different from what was being decided by the state court judge, which would then allow Mr. Abner to at least state a claim and proceed beyond the pleading stage. Finally, Your Honor, as just the last point I'd like to make, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but as to the sufficiency of his Title VII claim, the cases cited by the IDOT discuss whether or not there is sufficient evidence to show a correlation between the date of the alleged retaliation charge and the actual conduct at issue. They cite for the principle that an extended period of time is too long to just show cause and effect. Well, I would submit that Mr. Abner sufficiently pled that claim, and whether or not he is allowed to then prove that claim should be an issue for beyond the pleading stage, which he should be allowed to take discovery on. If there are no further questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Ms. Murphy, come on up.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Rachel Murphy, Assistant Illinois Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the appellee, the Illinois Department of Transportation. Your Honors, this Court should affirm the dismissal of Mr. Abner's complaint, first because it is precluded by the state court judgment upholding the department's decision to discharge him for disruptive conduct.
There is a little something. What about Mr. Abner's contention that until Judge Kinnaird ruled, he wasn't actually discharged, so he couldn't argue that the discharge was retaliatory?
Yes, Your Honor. As we stated in our brief, I think I don't quite understand that argument. The charge that the department gave to Mr. Abner, which is at DA-29, that's our supplemental appendix, states, "You are hereby being discharged." So I don't know how he can now argue that he was not aware that the department was discharging him. And he then requested a hearing in front of the commission on the discharge. Now, what happened is that the commission reduced his discipline. It found that he had engaged in disruptive conduct, but reduced his discipline to a 90-day suspension. The department then filed an action for administrative review in which, again, it argued that Mr. Abner should be discharged. So he had these two opportunities to contend that, no, there was no cause for my discharge. This was retaliation for my discrimination claim that I filed in 2001. So for him to say he was not aware that the department was seeking his discharge is contradicted by the record, Your Honor. Additionally, I wanted to contradict counsel's assertion that Mr. Abner was unrepresented before the commission. It's clear, again, in our appendix, that's DA-14, that Mr. Abner had counsel before the commission, a Mr. Stephen Clem, And at that point, counsel should have raised the defense of retaliation, just as this court stated should have been done in the Welch case. In fact, Welch is dispositive here, Your Honors. There is no way for Mr. Abner to get around that case. It was a similar posture in that in both cases, the employer sought discharge and the employee requested a hearing before the commission. This court stated that the employee was under an obligation to raise her claim of retaliation before the commission, as was Mr. Abner here. And so Welch is dispositive in this matter. And in the alternative, he has not stated a claim for retaliation, although it is true that I was not able to find a decision on the pleadings about the temporal proximity. A four-year difference in time with nothing else does not plausibly suggest retaliation here. And so on that alternate basis, we ask the court to affirm dismissal.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
How much? 3 minutes.
I won't take that long, Your Honor. Just a few points that I'd like to make. One, as to the issue about whether or not he was aware, Mr. Abner was aware that he was being discharged. He was certainly aware that there were proceedings pending, but he was not actually discharged because he won at the administrative level and then only was fired after he lost at the state court appeal. Second, just to clarify the record, if I don't believe I said that he was unrepresented by counsel, but if I did, I agree with counsel that he was represented by counsel. So my point is to...
I think what you said was that he was very unsophisticated.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. And then finally, as to the Welch case, while very similar, admittedly, the facts in that case showed a lot of similarities between issues that were raised in the state court case versus the issues which were and also included in the district court case. For instance, in that case, both cases, there were allegations regarding the plaintiff's use of sick leave. There were also allegations about the plaintiff's involvement in adoption proceedings and the propriety of her involvement there. So both cases address similar issues, unlike this case where the retaliatory charge was never brought up and was never discussed in the underlying case. Those are the only points I'd like to make, Your Honor. If there are any questions.
Thank you so much. The case will be taken under advisement, and we are...